Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th. Spectators can find event info such as start times, race routes, and where to watch, as well as volunteer opportunities at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Iowa Week. All this week, we're exploring the question, is this home? Sometimes it feels like Iowa is the country's best kept secret. Iowans tend to be pretty happy with the quality of life here, and yet there are still only 3.1 million of us. The Iowa Economic Development Authority has been spilling our secret all over the place. Maybe you saw their video where they created a fake real estate office in Manhattan and filled it with listings that were secretly from Iowa. Needless to say, the New Yorkers were blown away by the bargains.
It's 710 square feet, and it's $875 a month. And you can see here, nice natural light, right?
$875 a month?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just the maintenance, right? The maintenance fees are $875?
No, this is rental, so it's
$875. Oh, this is, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
Okay, so now we're gonna move into purchase. It has a private outdoor yard space, and then you can see here there's a balcony as well. Now this is the mudroom.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you have a mudroom in your apartment now?
No.
And this is $290,000.
I mean, that's dirt cheap, so.
Our last two bedroom, they wanted 1.8
million.
They're also conducting research to figure out the best way to convince people to visit or move to Iowa. Jackie Mattson is the Marketing and Communications Director at the Iowa Economic Development Authority, and she's with me now. Hello, Jackie.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here. And so you have done some extensive research to try to figure out how to convince people to visit Iowa, how to convince people to consider moving here or moving their businesses here. But you started with exploring what people think about Iowa already. What did you find out?
Well, we found that people don't necessarily have a negative point of view of Iowa, which is a good thing, obviously. We don't have to overcome concerns about our state. The biggest problem that we face as a state, frankly, Charity, is when we surveyed people outside the state, we're just not top of mind for people. When you ask them about places they've thought of visiting or places they'd be willing to move, Iowa does not come top of mind. And for the perceptions that they do have of our state, those who are not familiar with us primarily base their impressions on pop culture. So what they've seen on social media, what they see in the movies like Field of Dreams. So they think we're all rolling hills, really rural, mostly corn, and not a lot of diversity.
All right. So mostly people don't think badly of us, but they also don't think positively about us either.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. We did see about 55% saying their perceptions are positive. It's just funny because I think as Iowans, when we see the list of descriptors that people said about our state, we don't think of those things as positive because we know that they don't reflect our experiences here and all the things that we love about our great state.
Interesting. Getting people interested in the idea of moving to a state, you've found that visiting it first is key. And that's kind of a challenge for Iowa. And I'll admit, even I, when I lived in Michigan for 10 years, I would always tell people how wonderful Iowa was. And then I had what I thought was a very clever line where I'd say, well, it's a wonderful place to live, but I wouldn't want to visit there. And not because I don't love Iowa, but because it's kind of hard to see what it's all about by visiting. So that's a real challenge.
Well, so what we see this means is because we did have about 2/3 of folks tell us at a high level. So this was, we weren't talking about Iowa specifically. We were just asking people, have you ever thought about moving to a new place after visiting it, whether for business or for leisure travel? And about 2/3 of people said yes. And so what we see is, yes, it can be a challenge to get people to think of Iowa as a place to visit, but we do get quite a bit of drive traffic from surrounding states. And we know that our festivals, family, work events draw people here. So what that told us is we're missing the opportunity, or we have the opportunity going forward when people are here for RAGBRAI or 8035, or they're here for a conference, for work, a family reunion, or a wedding. That we have the opportunity while they're here to remind them that some of the great characteristics that they're experiencing during their visit could be part of their everyday lives if they chose to move here.
All right. So a lot of us, I think, when we go on vacation, we fantasize a little bit about moving. And you're finding that for some people that can actually turn into action.
Correct. Correct. And what we found is by sharing some facts about Iowa, which is what we tend to do through our campaign to folks both outside of Iowa and when they're visiting Iowa. But we can share information and stats about Iowa that will change people's perception about the state. And we found that everything from talking about how many state parks we have, arts and culture, festivals, as well as talking about our economic momentum, the low cost of doing business, our highly productive workforce. All of those things made people more interested in visiting Iowa in the future and actually made them say they might consider a move to Iowa in the future.
So in talking about the things that might make them consider visiting Iowa, they're not always necessarily the same things that make people really think about moving to a place, because those economic factors like job opportunities, that tends to be top of the list, right?
Correct. I think that there is a perception that especially younger generations are willing to move anywhere that they might want to live and then figure out the job later, which they may want to do. But in our survey, they told us that realistically, most people need to have a job opportunity lined up to be able to make a move. And so the work that we have to do there is in explaining to people the types of career opportunities we have in Iowa. You can imagine if you think that we're only farming and fields, that you believe the only jobs to be had here are farming. And a lot of people think farming is still cows and plows. They don't understand all the high-tech integration that is part of precision agriculture today. So people need a job to make a move, and we need to tell people what kinds of jobs and careers they can have in Iowa.
What are some of the other things? You mentioned talking about state parks and county parks, the kind of natural opportunities that people have. What are some of the other things that you found to be really effective at changing perceptions, some of the other facts that you share?
I mean, as a shorthand, Charity, it's really things to do. So people are looking for this perfect intersection of being able to get away from it all, find those open spaces, experience and appreciate the natural beauty. But at the same time, they also want to be have activities be accessible. They want to be able to go shopping or to a concert or a festival or a show, a production, and have those kind of opportunities be available to them. So really, it's all of those things together kind of create a feeling of vibrancy and momentum that people want to be a part of.
In watching that video where you set up the fake real estate office in New York and watched people react to not just the real estate that was available, because of course we have more space. Of course, you know, we have bigger opportunities to move into a place that has more space, has more bedrooms or the pantry, you know, some of those things that people would love to have. Another one of the facts that was shared in that video is that the average commute time in Iowa is 19.4 minutes. That has, I gotta think that wows people.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you watch the video, that's why we were able to keep the New Yorkers with us for so long, is because we told them that they were just an average of 19 minutes outside the city. So I'm sure they were thinking in very close proximity to New York City, because 19 minutes, of course, doesn't get you very far in New York City. But absolutely attractive, especially to one of the target audiences we're looking at is young families. So if you think about people living in really large cities where transportation can be a challenge and commute times are long, and maybe their kids are in after school activities, and can you imagine how do they get to the kids' activities as well as meet their work commitments? And then even on the weekends, it can be challenging to make it in for a ball game that also can break the bank if you have a large family. So what we're really trying to help people see is that you can kind of find that quality of life that you might be looking for in Iowa, where maybe more of the things you want to fill your life with fit here.
In trying to target messages toward young families, is that easier than trying to target it toward young professionals who haven't taken that step in life? Is Iowa maybe a little bit easier to sell as family friendly?
It just depends on what we emphasize to the different audiences. So young families care more about commute times, education, affordable cost of living. The young professionals are interesting because they're very adventure focused. They are people who appreciate experiences over things. And a lot of times they expect to have to make a move to advance their careers. So the things that we emphasize to that target audience are more the outdoor experiences, the fact that you can go rock climbing, or there's whitewater rafting and tons of hiking and caving that can happen. So more of the outdoor and adventure experiences appeal to that younger generation. And they also care more about high-tech jobs and cutting-edge industries where they can see their career progressing and advancing over time. So it just depends on which audience we're speaking to, which attributes of Iowa that we emphasize, but we, of course, think we have attributes to sell to everyone.
You've been working on this is Iowa campaign. You can see what you're doing at thisisiowa.com. Are you able to measure the results of that?
To a certain extent, it's still fairly new. We just launched at the end of January when Governor Reynolds announced and showed the results of the video in her weekly press conference. And we received really great feedback from that. In fact, she had a trip to New York City already planned after that. And we were successful in getting her some interviews talking about the video and what we're doing on workforce in New York, because actually the national media is interested in what Iowa is doing to address this workforce challenge and population shortage, which is not unique to Iowa. So far, in terms of results, we can see that more than 3 million people have viewed the New York video. And perhaps more important, around 3 million have engaged with the video. So they're liking it, they're sharing it, they're commenting on it. And what's really fun to see is some Iowans sharing their story and explaining how their decision to move back to Iowa mirrors the experience that we're trying to suggest in the video. And it feels a little bit like the state effort has given them permission to talk about why they like Iowa and why Iowa was the right fit for them.
Well, Jackie, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Jackie Mattson is the Marketing and Communications Director at the Iowa Economic Development Authority.
Coming up after the break, I'll talk with people who were drawn to Iowa because of economic or social reasons. Liesl Ethington will be here. She researches how these factors influence migration. And of course, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call, or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Iowa Week, and all week long we've been asking the question, is this home? Today we're talking about people who are drawn to Iowa for economic or social reasons. Low cost of living, high quality education, safety. Liesl Ethington is a researcher who studies these factors and how they influence our behavior. She's an assistant scientist and Iowa Community Indicators Program Coordinator at Iowa State University, and she is with me now. Hello, Liesl.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
I'm happy to be here.
We all know, just anecdotally speaking, at least someone who moved to Iowa from out of state, domestic migration, so migration from somewhere else in the country into Iowa. Can you give me an idea of how significant that is in our state?
Well, actually, for Iowa, if we look at domestic migration patterns, we don't do so well. So although we know people who have moved here from another state, it's just as likely, or maybe even more likely, that we know somebody who left for another state.
Yeah, that rings pretty true. I mean, obviously, there are only 3.1 million of us. So as I said earlier in the show, we sometimes feel like the nation's best kept secret. So we have people moving in, but are we still losing population, or does it kind of even out?
Well, on a just a domestic exchange basis, if we look at who we send to other states and who we attract from other states, Iowa still is losing people on net. Our population from migration is growing, but that actually is all accounted for by international in migration.
Interesting. Within Iowa, we're also seeing a lot of movement, so domestic migration within the state. Can you tell me a little bit about the patterns we see there?
Sure. So in any given year, if we look at the U.S. as a whole, only about 2.3% of residents move from one state to another. But the mobility within a state is actually a lot higher. So about 12% of people in the U.S. move somewhere else within their state. So the same holds true for Iowa. We have a lot more internal mobility as opposed to people coming in from other states.
And with that internal mobility, there is a strong pattern of people moving from rural areas to urban areas, right?
Very strong. And it's a persistent pattern that we've seen over several decades.
All right. Give me an idea of how significant that is.
Well, we've got, if we just look at domestic migration totals for our counties in Iowa, 88 of our counties so far this decade are losing more people from their county than they're gaining.
Wow.
11 of our counties are gaining, so we don't actually track the movement very precisely of individuals, but it's pretty apparent of the 11 that are gaining, they're in the metro areas. So the Des Moines area, very strong. Iowa City, Cedar Rapids corridor, very strong. So that rural to urban trend does continue that we have seen, you know, since the 1950s and probably before, but our best statistics come after that.
All right. And as we were saying earlier, we all know someone who has moved to Iowa from somewhere else. So it may not be in huge numbers, but we are going to share those stories this hour. And I want to start with a story about domestic migration, a family that was drawn to Iowa because of multiple reasons, but safety being a large factor. Carlos Honore dealt with a lot of challenges when he was growing up, but thanks to a move to Iowa City, he was able to discover a passion for sports that gave him focus, role models, and community. He became a star athlete in Iowa City's West High football team, actually multiple sports in the mid-90s. And now he's giving Iowa City boys the same kind of opportunity he had through the Iowa City chapter of the Fifth Ward Saints, a youth football league that combines athletics with advocacy. His family came to Iowa City from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, when he was in fifth grade. And I talked to him last week, and I asked him to tell me about the circumstances that led his family to come here.
Yeah, so my parents, like many parents in the South around that time, were parents all over in general. They were struggling with drug addiction. But the good thing is they realized that they needed help. And I think that's the first step to recovery, is that to admit you have a problem. So they moved here for a better life, to get help. We moved to take advantage. There was a place called Mecca. I don't know if it's still here, for them to attend Mecca drug rehab. And that's kind of what was our basis of coming here.
Why Iowa?
I ask that question all the time. I don't know if they just researched and found out that Iowa had good, it was a good rehab. To be honest, I can't answer that question, but I'm glad that they did.
Yeah, so you came here in fifth grade. You experienced extreme culture shock coming from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, yep. To Iowa City. We've talked about your story in the past, but you had a learning disability. School was really tough for you, mm-hmm. and things didn't necessarily get easier right away. Mm-hmm. You really found your place in junior high and high school, yep. in the sports programs. Mm-hmm. But I'm curious, what do you think Iowa City and Iowa offered you that you wouldn't have found in Louisiana?
I think number one, it has that small country feel, small town feel. The crime rate for one was much lower. The people were great, and they were understanding of my situation. They were real. They took time to learn what my issues were and how they would address my issues so I could be more successful. We had a lot more freedom here that we wouldn't have in Baton Rouge, the freedom to come and go and kind of explore things that we wouldn't when we'd be confined to a smaller space in Baton Rouge. The neighborhood that we were in was not the greatest. And to move here was just like night and day. You know, we didn't have to lock our doors. We didn't have to worry about gunshots and people breaking into your house. You know, for a kid, you know, that stresses you out as a young kid. So to move here, those stresses were lifted, and it was like a breath of fresh air to be here.
Did you experience racism here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only from white people, it happened from black people as well, because, you know, I had a country accent. I was from Louisiana, and people didn't accept me. Number one, I did have the learning disability, so I was in the different classes, and yeah, I did. But more so, the culture shock came because I'd heard so many horror stories about white people, especially growing up in the South, and I didn't have much communication and interaction with white people before I came here. But when I got here, I'm like, it's nothing like people always taught me, that white people are nice. They're not these devils and evil people, you know, and they're bad people, black or white. But, you know, when you don't have that interaction, and that goes both ways. When you have white kids that don't interact with black people, they only see what they see on TV. And that's the opinion that they form of people, if that's all they know, until you get to meet them and you realize that that's all just propaganda.
You became a high school star athlete. You were part of a state championship football team. So sports were the real highlight of your high school experience. Do you think about what your life might have been like if you hadn't come to Iowa, if you'd stayed in Baton Rouge?
I do. And it's a lot of my friends that I grew up with are either in prison or some are deceased. I do have some that did make it. And when I say make it, there's a plant there where they kept their nose clean to work in the plant and have a family. So that's kind of like the mark of success in Baton Rouge. Once you make it to the plants and, you know, you're able to take care of your family and you're not involved in the criminal justice system, that's a success. And I think for me, and I'll speak for my brothers as well, I think that we were meant to do more than that. And I think coming to Iowa helped us realize the possibilities of what was out there other than the plants. So it's kind of getting out of that environment. You put a kid in an environment that they're not used to, but it's a better environment. I think that it helps them realize that they can be better than what they have or their family have been before them.
You came back to Iowa City to found the Iowa branch, the Iowa City branch of the Fifth Ward Saints, which is a youth football program, but it's so much more than that. It's also an advocacy program and provides social support for kids who need some social support. Mm-hmm. So you interact with a lot of families that have come here for the opportunities. Mm-hmm. We know that there are lots of families from Chicago who've come to Iowa City, come to Cedar Rapids because it's safer, because of the educational opportunity. Have you talked to some of these families about making that transition, about what brought them here and what they've found here?
Well, I speak to them more, and I don't really delve into what brought them here. I get into they're here now, and I especially talk to the kids a lot about you were brought here for a better life. And I use my experience when I'm talking to them because I understand how you can throw it away. And I tell them all the time, yeah, you're from Chicago, you're from Milwaukee, but whoever brought you here cared enough about you that they want to see you do better. So the things that you learned in Chicago or Milwaukee, you have to leave those things in Chicago or Milwaukee. You have to make the transition because it was hard. And I know it's hard. It's not something that you can do overnight.
It's hard to move. It's hard to leave a community behind, even if there's this idea of a better life. And most of the kids don't care so much. It's their parents who are like, I think you're going to be safer. I think the schools are better. I think that this is a better idea. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people in Iowa express concerns, say, oh, all these families coming from Chicago, filling up our schools. Mm-hmm. That certainly can be heard as coded racial or racist language. Mm-hmm. But how hard is it for these kids to come here? I mean, with that kind of barrier, with people looking at them and thinking, hey, why are you here? Why are you taking advantage of this stuff that we've built?
Yep. And those kids feel that. And I think people sometimes think because they're kids, they don't realize that they're getting treated differently. But kids are amazing people, man. And you know, they pick up on stuff like that. And it hurts them. We have open, honest conversations sometimes. But the good thing is we have black kids and white kids in our program. And we have those conversations where the white kid has come from a background where they've only heard negative things about the black kids in a community from their parents. Let's face it, that's where it's coming from, because no kid's born with those ideologies. That's something that's taught to them. So we break down and we have to tell those kids, yeah, I know that's what you've heard, But once you get to meet Lil Johnny and form your own opinion about him. And so, but those kids, yes, they do, it hurts them in a way that I don't think I can explain. But from my experience and having to deal with it myself, you feel like an outsider. And you really don't feel like a member of the community. And I did. I searched for that acceptance. And that's when I found my trouble that way. I've not been accepted by the white kids because I didn't look like them. I didn't talk like the black kids. I just found the kids that accepted me. And those are the kids that were getting in trouble. And I think that's kind of like the way that things have been operating. They find people that accept them. And those are the kids that have been getting in trouble. And they follow that suit, and they end up getting in trouble, and that's, they get labeled by the schools and they're bad kids, and just, it's a snowball effect. Yeah.
So it can be a land of opportunity, but it's a hard road. I mean, coming here may mean that the streets are safer, yep, but the challenges are big.
Yep. And you almost want to wonder if they have stayed in Chicago and to feel that sense of acceptance, is that more important than the safer streets? Because, you know, people survive and make it out of the inner city all the time. But to bring somebody to some place where you think that they're going to be better off because it's safer, but then they have to deal with those issues at such a young age, what kind of effect is that having on them opposed to the violence and things that they're seeing where they come? So I don't know.
It's not perfect.
It's not perfect. No, there's no perfect way. But I do agree that for me personally, Iowa City was a great move for me.
Carlos, thank you for seeing the potential in so many kids.
We do. Thank you for having me.
Carlos Honore, he is the founder of the Fifth Ward Saints, a youth football league that combines athletics with advocacy. And this hour, we're talking about people who come to Iowa for economic or social reasons. Liesl Ethington is here with me. She's a researcher who studies these factors and how they influence our behavior at Iowa State University. And Liesl, I know that looking at the demographics, you know a lot about people's age and where they move and that kind of thing. Are you able to also look at race and ethnicity with those numbers?
Well, we can. The reliability of our data gets lower and lower the more detailed we look, because unfortunately, even though it's a fascinating subject and so many people are interested in it, it's really, really a hard thing to measure. And so one place that we look for information is just secondary data that we get from surveys, where we look at characteristics of people who move, and we look at characteristics of the places they move to or from, and then we draw inferences from those. A much better way to do it is to ask people, why did you move, and why did you choose where you moved to? The problem with that, that of course isn't as easy as it sounds either, is if you ask people about their desire to move, it might tell you one thing, but if you ask people who actually moved, the reasons might be different. So there's different levels. You might live in a place and have a desire to move, you might intend to move, and then you might actually move. If we look at research on what drives all of those, the things that are important to people seem to shift around depending on which of those three categories they fall into.
Well, and moving is such a big thing. It's although we're talking about economic opportunity in Iowa, which is something that Iowa has a lot of, just the cost of moving, that's an incredible barrier for people. So that must be really hard to parse out the desire to move and the actual ability to make it happen.
Yes, there's a lot of things that really complicate it. And then just as the theme of this show, you're looking at the social and the economic reasons for moving. When you consider that you've got, a lot of times it's a household rather than an individual. So you have to look at the relationships within the household. You have to look at the relationships that household has to their current community. So there could be family support systems. There could be friend networks. And then the economic reasons, you add that in there too. So maybe you're looking for a new job, but you've got a spouse. You have to find employment opportunities there. The interaction with the social and health systems, so schools or your healthcare, relationships with taking care of aging parents, all of that varies from one household to the next. So trying to come up with, you know, the magic recipe for attracting people to Iowa, that's why it's so difficult.
Absolutely. Liesl Ethington is here with me today. She's an assistant scientist and Iowa Community Indicators Program Coordinator at Iowa State University. Liesl, stick around. We have a lot more to talk about after the break. We are hearing from people, their stories about moving to Iowa, and we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number. Tweet us at Iowa Public Radio or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Tanya in Des Moines says, I came for the cheap education and resilient job market. I stayed because my house in Des Moines would be 10 times more expensive in my home state. We also heard from Hans in Iowa City. He says, I moved here from Los Angeles for a job opportunity and decided to stay because of the people and the way of life. We'd love to hear your story as well. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th. Spectators can find event info such as start times, race routes, and where to watch, as well as volunteer opportunities at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Iowa Week continues today as we ask the question, is this home? In this hour, we're hearing from people who were drawn to Iowa because of economic or social factors. Gail Brashears-Krug is an attorney who lives in Iowa City. She is a mother of six and moved her family here 11 years ago from Baltimore. Quality of life was at the top of the list of reasons when she and her now ex-husband chose Iowa City. Hello, Gail.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you grew up in the St. Louis area, so you weren't a stranger to the Midwest. Did you have any Iowa ties?
None whatsoever.
All right. So when you were living in Baltimore, tell me what happened. You decided that you needed to leave?
Well, after we had our fourth child, it became apparent to us that we had a large family and that we intended to make the family larger, and that if we could step back and choose a place to raise a large family, Baltimore, Maryland would not be it for a variety of reasons. And then it occurred to us that we could, in fact, just step back and choose the place, the best place to raise a large family. So we did. And by we, I mean me, of course. And so I'm a lawyer. I got out my Excel spreadsheet. We identified various criteria that we thought would give us the best place to raise our children and also a livable quality of life for ourselves as parents and as humans. And then I may have weighted those factors and developed numerical values for each of them and then plugged things into the spreadsheet.
So this
is
really
a science. Up one. Yeah.
Can you tell me what some of the other choices were that were on that list?
Yes. Number two was Madison, Wisconsin. Number three was Ann Arbor, Michigan. You're probably sensing a pattern. Somewhere on there was Columbia, Missouri. I think probably the Research Triangle over in North Carolina was on there, but it's very expensive, so it was pretty far down. That kind of.
All right. So you knew it needed to be a university town, sounds like.
Yes. It sort of a backdoor step to that is there needed to be, we're Jewish, and there needed to be other Jews, but we also didn't want a big city. So basically the only place that isn't a big city that you get lots of Jews is a college town.
Tell me what the other factors that were on that
sure.
spreadsheet were.
Number one was quality of the public schools, the crime rate, the cost of housing and cost of living generally. Was there a synagogue? That was a big one. Quality of the public library was a big one. And also the political climate was an issue for us. In particular, as I said, I have six children, and at the time we knew at least one of them was gay. Now we know at least two of them are gay, and it was really important for us to be in a place that is queer positive. And also not within 100 miles of either of our parents was another key consideration. So those were the biggies.
So Iowa City came out on top. Was it a close race?
It was close with Madison. Madison was second, and then it was relatively close with Ann Arbor, and then there were some pretty steep drop-offs after that.
You've been here for 11 years.
Yeah.
Was it
what you were hoping when you got here? Did you find what you were looking for?
It is so much better than we even hoped. Apart from marrying my now ex and having my amazing children, it's the best decision I've ever made in my life. It's great.
Have there been disappointments?
So when we first moved here, my oldest was 12. It was June, so school hadn't started yet, you know, kind of getting used to the neighborhood and whatever. And my oldest had two reactions to Iowa that were negative. One is, where are all the brown people? Because we had moved from Baltimore, which is a majority African-American city. And the other was, why does everybody always smile at me? What's their game? And so, like, that's the positive and the negative right there, is that it is a much whiter, less racially diverse place than we had ever lived before.
And we're ridiculously friendly.
Yeah, and yeah, which it was
almost
phenomenal.
Cartoonishly, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, you know, my family has so embraced the friendliness thing. You know, we live on a street that is not often, doesn't see a lot of auto traffic, but sees a lot of people walking their dogs. And my two youngest kids love dogs. And so they literally sit at the bay window in the front of the house and wait for dogs to walk by. And then they run out and say, can we pet your dog? And so all the neighborhood dog owners know them, and they know all the neighborhood dogs. And the people are just, you know, Pearl's mom or Augie's mom or so on. But yeah, it's been amazing.
Thinking about cost of living, mm-hmm. again, I mean, you have six kids moving here and buying a house. Did you find that the things were just much more accessible for you here than they would have been in other places?
Definitely. It's also a little bit less weird to have six kids in Iowa than it is in, say, Boston or Chicago. Although people often assume that, you know, we're members of some religious group. We're not. We're just Jews. The flip side of that is also, so I can buy a house here much cheaper than I could, but I work for a law firm, and they bill me out at X dollars an hour, right? If I were in Boston, but I had a law school reunion recently, and the people I went to law school with are at firms in Boston and New York and Chicago, and they are billed out at 3X or 4X per hour. So it was a decision to take a big financial hit, which is okay, you know, because there's a point when you have that fourth baby, you're like, you know what? Maybe it looks like our whole life is actually about raising kids, so we should start prioritizing that. And we haven't looked back.
How long do you think it felt you to feel at home here?
That's a tough one. People were immediately welcoming. Like, no one was standoffish. Everyone was great. But we definitely had some sort of culture shock to get past. I remember, so my ex-husband grew up in Chicago on the south side in Hyde Park, and we were accustomed to taking a lot of public transportation. And he just works at the VA, so he would often take the bus to work. And the first thing he learned is you don't stand up on the bus until your stop has been reached, like you do in Chicago. You stand up and everyone's like, oh, did you drop something? Are you okay? Do you need some help? And that kind of took a little bit. So he is not a particularly extroverted person. So he started, like, putting headphones in, even if he wasn't listening to anything. So I think the thing that made me feel at home was having friends. So as long as it took me to make friends is how long it took me to feel at home. So about a year, really.
Gail, thank you so much.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you came to Iowa.
Me too.
Gail Brashears-Krug is an attorney who lives in Iowa City with her six children. Liesl Ethington is here, an assistant scientist and Iowa Community Indicators Program Coordinator at Iowa State University. Liesl, as a researcher, you have to wish that every person who moved anywhere was as methodical as Gail. I mean, she really crunched the numbers and gave all the reasons. That's pretty unusual for people to be that thoughtful about why they might move somewhere, isn't it?
It is, and probably with a lot of people, if you ask them, they wouldn't be able to tie it down to specific factors. You know, as with her, it probably is a combination and weighting exercise they go through, maybe not on a spreadsheet, but at least inside their brains.
What do we know about the age of people who choose to move to Iowa? And Gail is an example of, a professional adult with children. Do we tend to be most attractive to people who fall into that category?
Yeah, she pretty much hits the mark in terms of the group that we would think most likely to move from one state to another. The rates for people ages 25 to 34 and then also a little bit less, 35 to 44. State-to-state migration is much more likely among those people than older people. And then also in terms of education, going from state to state, at least people with higher levels of education tend to be a lot more mobile. That changes if you're looking at in-state migration, that sometimes people with lower levels are actually more likely to move around.
Oh, interesting. And all right, let's talk about the people who are most likely to leave. And I'm guessing that we step down in age a little bit. Who's most likely to leave the state of Iowa?
Well, in Iowa, we pretty much ignore people who are under the age of 25 just because that period from about 18 to 25 is just so dynamic for so many people. Not necessarily because they go to college, although college can be a really driving force. But if we look at migration statistics for people in that age group, it's just really hard to sort it out. So we like to look at, starting at about age 25 when we think that people's educational pursuits are pretty much over. Iowa, like other states in the Midwest, we do tend to have pretty high rates of out-migration of younger adults, but really, if we compare ourselves to our peers, Nebraska, Kansas, even Illinois, Minnesota, we don't stand out that much. I know it's been a huge area of concern for a long time that we have really high rates of out-migration of young adults, but we don't stand out a lot from the rest of the Midwest.
That's encouraging. Now, leaving Iowa is a good way to realize just how high the quality of life is in our state. And that leads a lot of Iowans to boomerang, to leave for a while and then come back, which is exactly what Liz Keener has done. She grew up in Sheldon. She moved away and she now lives in Des Moines. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here. Now, tell me, when you were growing up in Sheldon as a teenager, did you imagine a future living in Iowa?
You know, I did. I knew that it would be the long-term goal, but I always thought about opportunities outside of Iowa. It was just something I'd always been interested. Travel was always interesting to me, and so I wanted to see what else was out there. And so that was why I ended up moving to Austin shortly after college.
Yeah, you went to the University of Northern Iowa in Cedar Falls, right?
I did. That's correct.
All right. So you moved to Austin. How long did you live there?
We lived there for 4 years. So it was my husband and I moved there. He was going to attend the master's program at UT Austin for advertising. And we had traveled to Austin to make sure it was a good place for both of us. And we are both interested in live music. So Austin was the perfect fit for us. And yes, we were there for 4 years before I moved back.
When you were living in Austin, it's one of the coolest cities in America, at least that's what we hear all the time. What made you think about moving back to Iowa? What was the draw?
Personally, the biggest draw was family. It was hard being so far away, and at the time we started to think about, settling down, starting a family of our own. We knew that the education system in Iowa was definitely more appealing to us, being, raised here and educated here. And then, of course, being close to family while starting a family of our own was also important. And so that was really the biggest motivator. And, of course, the quality of life that Iowa can afford because of the cost of living. We didn't have to choose between owning a home and still being able to do the things that we love, like traveling.
Are there things about Iowa that were easier for you to see clearly from a distance? Are there things about your home state that you only understood because you left?
Yes, the Iowa nice was definitely something that I had taken for granted. The willingness of people to lend a helping hand and the appreciation of community of the people here in Iowa was something that, I had experienced a little bit of in Austin, but, people in Austin, it were mostly from the coasts. And so there's not so much of that Midwest, you know, nice. And so that was something I'd taken for granted.
You grew up in a small town. Now you live in Des Moines. Is there anything that could lure you back to small town Iowa?
You know, that's interesting. That's definitely something my husband and I have also talked about. Professionally, our careers make more sense in a bigger city. However, we love the experience we had growing up in a small town and that sense of community. While we'd love to be able to, you know, make a living maybe long term in a small town, right now it makes more sense for us to do it in Des Moines. But Des Moines itself, you know, having come from a city like Austin, does feel like a small town to us with the communities that we're involved in, both personally and professionally. And so we do get that sense of small town living here in Des Moines, even though it is a bigger city for Iowa.
Having lived in Austin, did you find yourself trying to convince people there of how great Iowa was?
Yeah, I think so. You know, every time someone asked where we were from, you know, it was like when we would say Iowa, it was like, oh, okay, kind of end of conversation. Or it was, what's in Iowa? And so, you know, we found ourselves becoming advocates for it because of people's perception of Iowa just from the movies. You know, it's all cornfields and farms. And of course, you know, the next question we would usually get was, oh, were you raised on a farm? And although my husband was, I was not. And so we found ourselves becoming advocates for all of the great things that there are to do. And we actually ended up getting married back here in Iowa a few years ago and invited a lot of our out-of-state friends that we'd met in Austin. And so it was really awesome to have them come and actually experience Iowa for themselves.
Liz, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Liz Keener lives in Des Moines. And Liz gives us an example of a couple of things, the movement of people from rural areas to urban areas within the state, but also boomerang Iowans. Tell me how big a thing that is. It's something, I'm a boomerang Iowan. I think I know a lot of people who moved away and then eventually made their way back. Do we know how large that phenomenon is?
No, we don't. Unfortunately, we hear a lot of it. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence. And I think it goes back to what Jackie was talking about in your first segment, where what they're trying to do is change people's perceptions and awareness of Iowa. When you've got people who are not currently in the state but who were raised here, they've already gotten past that step. And so that could be why it seems like people are more likely to want to return to Iowa.
So we are not a state that is growing quickly, which is something I think a lot of people like about the state of Iowa, although we are seeing in migration into our rural areas that a lot of that is international immigration. That's bringing a lot of economic influx and prosperity to some of the smaller communities. Is that where you see the growth focused?
Yes. There's no denying the importance of the international inflows to Iowa's growth prospects. It's going to be very difficult for us to change the trend that we've had with our exchanges with other states. So for many communities, many counties, the only source of migration growth is those international flows.
Liesl Ethington, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Liesl Ethington is an assistant scientist and Iowa Community Indicators Program Coordinator at Iowa State University. We wrap up Iowa Week tomorrow with people sharing their stories about when Iowa started to feel like home to them, or maybe they've lived here a while and it doesn't feel like home. We'll explore that as well. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Matt Alvarez, Rick Brewer, Caitlin Harrop, and our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.